Hello and welcome to the Input Lag podcast, where we talk about pop culture topics from esports and behind the scenes to casual gaming and everything in between. I am Gunnar Lubana. I'm joined by my co-host Rob Kearns right above me, and today's guest, Mr. Johnny Weaver. I apologize in advance as some of the audio is patchy due to technical difficulties. The first question Mr. Johnny answers is about his background and his start in the esports world. Thank you.
Lord. Yeah. Well, long story short, I am a professional babysitter, basically. So I've been playing video games since I was in diapers, of course. I'm 35 now. My very first tournament was in 1992 at Blockbuster Video. Not many people know what Blockbuster is because it's not around anymore. Yeah. And so that was Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo, and it's who can get the most bananas in 5 minutes. So that transitioned from that. Then we went to Mario Kart 64, GoldenEye, all the way up to Halo to where we're at now. In 2002, I read about a guy named Sundance Giovanni who created Major League Gaming. He had a little mini LAN in his basement with about 30 of us. I got fifth place, and I liked it, and I wanted more. And so I got more into MLG, and my first major event that I won was in Vegas for an international open, and that's when I became pro. So from 2002 all the way to 2015, I played from Halo 1 all the way to Halo 5. And then I retired.
That's awesome.
And yeah, so in between that, I've also done like grassroots programs here. I do K through 12, college, and also now work behind with the pro scenes like DreamHack, UGC, all those guys. So that actually came from Dallas. It was one of the big banners. I'm like, I'm going to take that home with me and hang it on my wall. So, but yeah, no, I've done over 1,600 events, 18 years, and I pretty much am esports, like I said, babysitter slash hoe, because I get around a lot.
So, yeah, that's really cool. So how did you get into, like, the behind the scenes, like, not going from pro to, like, I guess, manager or, like, administrator would be the term.
Right, yeah, admin. Yeah. I mean, you can go in without being a player, but, like, say, if you're a casual player and you enjoy having fun, So how I did it is I had some of the people that create like the major events, like the high honchos, like, hey, you want to come work for us? You know what you're doing. You want to admin create stuff? Because, you know, when you are an admin, they want people who will make sure the event goes accordingly to plan because they're on a time schedule for streams and that. And they also don't want someone that's going to get pushed over by bullies, I guess you could say. So they know that if someone's causing a ruckus, I'm going to put my size 13 boot up their ass and we're going to get stuff done. So. But I did that. There's been plenty of events where I've actually had friends that were in that area. I'm like, hey, man, you want to come work with me? You know, we'll get you a hotel. We'll feed you all that good stuff. Nothing out of your pocket. And that way you get yourself in the esports world. And so that's what I try to help other people do. For instance, like with us at Game Gym, I do online events and I try to get other people who want to be involved to learn how the bracket works or learn how to talk to the players for this and that. Just small things to enhance themselves along the esports path.
That's really cool.
just a little bit.
When we were making the questions, we looked at your resume and I was like, yeah. Oh, that's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff.
All right. I'm almost up to 100,000 hours in esports as far as a player hosting, etc. So it's a long grind, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, he's the one with the aim, but I'm more of a coach for him. Like we call it a Robin Gumbier's point and click adventure, where if I which is typically what happens, I just tell him where to go and he shoots him, and it's super fun.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. Right. Well, that's what I do for like some of our stuff. So I also commentate for a bunch of, I'm a caster, and then I also coach other teams that are either at our locals or the professional scene. So I understand completely. It's like, hey, this is what you got to do. You got to do this. Watch out for this. Just try to help someone be that, you know, fifth eye or whatever. Yeah, it was great. Honestly, I miss the way it used to be back in the day because we used to have 256 teams at these events. Now you're lucky to get 60 to maybe 100 plus, depending on the game. But so the cool thing is, too, is so when we did seeding, it wasn't, oh, well, I've done this online. No, your entire team would play in a free-for-all against other people, do three rounds. And then pending how you guys did would put you in that bracket against other people. So it was all skill-based, not just, well, I won this thing on game battles. Now I'm going to be first place or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So but go ahead.
Yeah, so what are some common misconceptions you hear about, like, the gaming community or the esports world? Or if there isn't really anything, like, any common misconception by, like, people trying to get in or something like that, what's something you wouldn't expect people to know off the bat?
Honestly, a lot of people nowadays think to make it to the scene we're at, you have to be a really known streamer. You have to have the best internet or the best gear. That's just all myth shit. I mean, yeah, look what he did. I mean, he started off and now he owns his own major company and stuff and he has his own brand. So it just depends on how hard you want to hustle. And for instance, some people think, well, I have to live in New York. I have to live in California, all these little flashy places. I live in a small town in Oklahoma of 800 people called Wellston, Oklahoma. The cows overpopulate us out here. My internet is a 10 down and a 0.9 up and a constant 60 to 80 ping. And I play in tournaments all day long. So it's about the drive and the passion you want to do. But no, a lot of people think, like I said, you have to be a well-known streamer or you have to, like I said, know someone like Nadeshot or Skump or whoever, you know. And a lot of people just don't understand it's all about just the grind. You know, it's about practice, repetition, and it's just like any sport. You don't get good unless you practice, you know? Mm-hmm. You're good. Well, that and I know one other thing, too, is when people think of a gamer, they think of people that are probably lazy, overweight, yada, yada. I'm 6'6", 220. I've got a dad bod, but I stay in shape pretty well. I'm 6'6", man. Yeah, I'm a giant. Yeah, I'm a big guy. Oh, Lord. There is a difference between kids that want to grind because they enjoy it. There's kids that want to play it for casual. And then there's the kids that think they're good because they buy mommy and daddy's money for the skins. I'm just like, come on, guys. Like my daughter, she'll be turning 12 in 2 weeks. She's already been in 5 major tournaments from Halo to Fortnite. And she's taken second, third, and fourth. And she's got medals and stuff here. She's got money from when she went. She lost on a Fortnite doubles with a random partner she picked up out of 23 teams. She lost to the first place team by 1 point.
Oh, heartbreaking.
Yeah, at the final second. So, I mean, I've been grinding her out since Halo 1, since she was 6 years old. And so 6 years later, she's in tournaments and stuff now. Yeah, yeah, she's going to take my spot one day. Yeah, she's in there watching YouTube Fortnite stuff right now, just learning different things. I'm like, all right, so she does her homework.
So when you're doing, like, behind the scenes administrative stuff for games, what are some considerations you have to take into account for different games? Because I'm assuming you don't just do it for, like, Halo tournaments, right?
I've done it for Madden, Overwatch, Halo, Smash. So one, know the community, because every community is different. Two, understand the rule structures, so you don't say, oh, you have to do this, and they're like, what are you talking about? For instance, you can't tell Halo people, hey, you have a stock set when it's Smash, and said you have, you know, these maps, and it's at blah, 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 blah. So it's understanding who you're around. And then, of course, every arena that we go to and build is different because they're not all going to be built the same because of different structures or streaming platforms, etc. So it just depends on who wants what. But understanding the game and understanding the rules and community is the first major things you always want to understand. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, so back in the day, Ninja used to play Halo Reach. Like, I played against Ninja back in the day. And I mean, I loved Halo Ninja, Fortnite Ninja. He's like Barney for kids, and I hate it. He's not who he really is. Now, he's starting to slowly come back into that because I don't know if he's getting burned out or what. But nowadays, when it comes to, like, Twitter and stuff, it can help. But a lot of people also start turning esports into a job instead of fun. So for instance, you know, you want to go stream, but you want those high views, but you might start off with 1, 2, 10 people, and it might stay that way for a few months. A lot of people give up, they get burned out, but if you're having fun, just have fun. Your numbers will come when they come, you know. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So yes and no. I had a scholarship for basketball for Southern Nazarene University out here in Oklahoma. Yeah, yeah. And so I played a little bit, and I was like, college isn't for me. And that's when, like I said, esports was taking off. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna risk the biscuit, roll the dice, and I played. Now I did have normal jobs. Like I lifeguarded. I was actually a plant technician for like water plants and stuff. So I had my outside job, but I still grinded the circuits and stuff. But right now with college, since there's so many colleges with sponsorships and stuff coming up for esports, it's a smart idea if you want to get both an education and do the same passion you love. So I know for us, for instance, we are actually building an esports arena on campus. And so it'll be a training ground. Plus others can come. We're also tied in with a bunch of the high schools. So the high schools can come and do this training grounds or tournaments, et cetera. So the more you push it and the more you try to build your brand outside of the basic stuff, like some colleges I know are just going to focus in-house. We're focusing out-house. Like we work with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We work with the Extra Life Foundation. So we're trying to put everybody in the same tee to make it as big and brand as it can for anybody that wants to play.
So is it like, do you have games that you specifically will give scholarships for, or like only games that are competitive, or is there like, is it really open to anybody? Like, is there?
So with college, there is only certain platforms, like for instance, Overwatch, Call of Duty, Smash, League of Legends, you know, the title games for college gate stuff. Mm-hmm. Now you could be good at a different one and come in and make those skills transition into something else. Or for instance, let's say you're a great Halo player or Rainbow Six. You know, those aren't offered in colleges. However, people understand your background. You become a coach. You can become a caster, an analyst. So you can trade that skill in for something else and still get a good education and a sponsorship off it. In which aspect? Like for college or? Right. Right. I mean, honestly, like I said, if you look online, there's so many platforms that do tournaments nowadays, and you could reach out to that tournament administrator like me and be like, hey, you know, I like this game. I know everything. I'd like to try out to be a caster. All right, well, come on stream, cast some matches, and see how you feel, you know? And so your best bet is to always try than just wonder what if. Because even if A doesn't like you, B might. So you don't know until you try. Because the cool thing is, like I said, with that is that, so like I said, you did do the thing and you recorded your stuff. Say you put it on your YouTube or your Twitter, then all of a sudden, say UGC or someone's like, hey, I like your style. You know, you want to come maybe do a casting event for us? Well, there you go, because you put something out there, you know?
Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different games that have tried and failed or tried and succeeded to become a major esport. So what do you think is the separating factor? Is it just like the community? Is there like something about specific games that succeed? Because like Overwatch, as popular as it is casually, like the pro scene sort of worked, but also was sort of hard to get off the ground. So
yeah,
like
right.
That as opposed to League, which has like multi-million dollar tournaments at this point. So like, what do you think the defining factor is in success?
It honestly depends on, first of all, the game. Is there something like it, you know? And then, like I said, how well everybody can adapt to it. For instance, let's take Titanfall, for example. Right. Titanfall was its own brand. However, they messed up by not having offline LAN play, and they also messed up to where if you did do a tournament, if your bot wasn't whatever level you were, you can't go into a custom mode and have the same stuff as somebody else. So it was a failed launch on that aspect. So when it comes to games, you need a perfect launch. You need a perfect actual custom game you can do that is equal for everybody and not just only the select few that grinded it out. So it depends on, like I said, how well they execute it. And that's what breaks or makes a lot of different things from failing and not failing.
Yeah.
Following up on that, do you think that Valorant is going to make it or fail? Just given all the hype
around. So I know right now the hype train is going, and like I said, it'll depend on how long the hype train lasts, because it's a mixture of literally like Counter-Strike had a baby with Overwatch and had another baby with Apex. I mean, it's all those different aspects combined into one.
Yeah.
So I can see it being good, but it needs to go to its first major LAN to see how well the community engages, because you can toss 25 grand for a Valorant LAN compared to 125 CSGO Masters, and it can make or break. Don't know till you try.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Do you think, because before this, Overwatch was the Fathom CSGO killer.
Do you think Valorant is going to be the CSGO killer?
I mean, CSGO has been around since I played it back in like 99 when it was just Counter-Strike, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's lasted the test of time. Now, that's also because nothing else has ran the gauntlet with it. Now you have something new that's like it with a little bit of abilities. So it could possibly, like I said, we got to give it more than, of course, just the fresh launch that just literally came out because we were in beta and stuff and now the fresh. So I would give it, honestly, another 4 to 6 months, also depending on how COVID lasts. Now, if COVID stops and, say, DreamHack or somebody wants to pick it up, they'll run it once, and if it works, great. If not, they'll kill it, and CSGO remains king.
Yeah. Oh, here's a good question I had. Do you think that Valorant will have a good esports scene in the Tier 3, Tier 2, unlike the Overwatch League, which, not to bash it, but if I'm going to bash it, to just, like, not care about the new players?
And that's the other issue, too, about a lot of these games, a lot of companies, is that, don't get me wrong, the pro scene is out there for a reason, but they need to cater towards the amateur people, too, because there is great skilled people, but they're getting frowned upon because, oh, well, I don't know who the hell you are, but yet, even though you're a great AM player. And so they need to transition where they have both sides of it to where, say, if they have an amateur event before a pro part, and then, like, the top four amateurs then get seated into the pro area to try out. That way it's recognition, et cetera, et cetera. Because, yeah, like I said, there's lots of talent that's out here. We're missing it because they just don't get seen upon because of, say, a well-known player that's out there is overshadowing him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Well, I guess you started up with... Did you stream when Justin TV was a thing, out of curiosity?
Unfortunately, I know what Justin TV is because that's what, you know, everything transitioned from. But no, unfortunately, where I live at, I can't stream. So the only time I stream is when I'm at events or if... For like at buddy's house, that's only two times I can stream because my internet I hear is a 10 down to 0.9 up, and you have to have at least a 2.5 up to do anything with.
Dude, come to the East Coast. I have an extra room just for you.
I've been offered to move a lot of places. Don't get me wrong, I've thought about it, but I'm just like, this is worth my time. I don't know.
So, what do you play in your spare time? Is it still Halo, or is it Fortnite with your daughter, or is there
I play a variety. So I play Halo, I play Call of Duty, I play Overwatch, Rocket League, a little bit of Fortnite, Apex. So honestly, it depends on what my friends are doing. What's really funny is, as much as I love the competitive esports games, RPGs are my favorite. Like, I grew up playing like Final Fantasy VII. What was that? Legend of Dragoon on PlayStation, and then, like, on Super Nintendo, Chrono Cross, Chrono Trigger, and Earthbound. All those things. I love RPGs.
Yeah.
Are pretty fun.
All right, I guess this is like more of a highly debatable question. What do you think about like kids playing like COD or like being the COD voice lobbies? Because like you have a kid yourself, so you have more
squeakers. God, yeah, right, not just so, squeakers. Right.
Like Robin, we'll be playing. We're pretty tame, and we'll like we'll make our dark humor. It's like not chaotic, but then we'll just hear a kid say like the racial slur for gay people, or like the N-bomb. They think it's funny. We're just like, I don't know how you got exposed to that.
There's a lot of racial and sexual talk when it comes to kids just saying shit they think is cool, and they don't understand it. But of course, when they get older, they'll probably be like, "Shit, I said that." Like, So like my daughter, you know, she's been, you're a girl gamer and stuff. I wouldn't say she's cussed people out, but she's like roasted them, but not in a racial or sexual way at all. Like, I remember one guy's like, "I'm gonna beat you up in real life," and I taught her to say, you know, we'll just be like, reply back, "You can't even beat yourself off. What makes you think you can beat me up?" So, but when it comes to Call of Duty and stuff, like I said, normally me and the guys will stay in our own party chat because we're playing competitive. But if we're playing and we'll see those mics light up down there, we'll creep into game chat just to see what it is. And when they start complaining, we'll get in there, we'll just roast the crap out of them just to get them more toxic, and we'll go back because then it messes with their morale and they lose even worse. We're like, well, it worked.
I agree. Like, you know, you see like on a writer tour, like the little kids like screaming at their mom about Fortnite. Like, do you think it's because they're that's just like their own problem, like parenting or like games? Because to me, games don't cause the violence necessarily, you know? I don't like games saying the hate.
Honestly a parenting thing. Like I said, I'm a parent. My daughter knows she's actually pretty good. The only time she's ever had the dad voice was maybe three times in her life. I haven't even had to ground her yet, but
she's much better than me.
Yeah. So like I said, when it comes to that, I was at a gaming center in Oklahoma City, and the thing is, you know, you pay X amount to come play on the systems, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. And on there it says, you know, you can enter your own name if you like to. That way you can use your own skins or whatever purchases you want, but do not purchase anything in-house or else it will cost you however much you spent on that name. a kid sits down with his parents still there as the parents are signing stuff, hops on Fortnite, hops on the LAN center's name, and spends $75 worth of V-Bucks.
Jeez.
Right off the rip, yep. And I happened to look over there, and I looked at the owner, and I was like, you might want to make sure that's not his name. And so he checks it, and the parent goes with him, and the parent was just like, well, why do I have to pay you $75? Like, because this contract says if it's not your name, don't be spending our money on stuff. So, yeah.
Jeez.
It's all about discipline, and a lot of kids, unfortunately, nowadays ain't got that.
Yeah, no.
How would you go about starting your own esports team?
Oh, that's a
good
question.
Like, at a college or even not at a college. Like, is there anything you would need to do, or is it just get a bunch of friends that are good together and just send it?
I mean, honestly, nowadays, it is good to start with friends. Now, unfortunately, sometimes those friends, some of them might not be as good as the other skills. And so if they're a good friend, they'll understand, hey, I'm going to pick up Jeffrey instead because he is a better player. We'll still play together.
I'm the coach.
Yeah, but a team-wise, you're going to do that. The other thing is nowadays when people do create teams, they think they're good because they're good online. And then when they play a LAN, they get slaughtered. And 90% of them do not come back. They just abandon that, et cetera, because they can't handle what cost them the game. Instead, I tell people, learn what got your ass kicked, learn from it, and then replay again. So, for instance, the team I've played with, we've been playing since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just a bunch of dads and stuff now. We still play and do tournaments. So it's just a chemistry. Mm-hmm. It's trusting each other. And then, like I said, learning. That's it.
Yeah, I think that holds very true. Like, also, like, the willingness to, like, I don't know, stay together, you know, even through anger.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, because there's been some COD games, like, for instance, I hate the Black Ops series with a passion, but I'll still coach them, and I'll be their sub if they need it. But yeah. I know there's better players on that than I am, so I don't mind letting someone take my spot, because that's just, you're there to win and have fun, you know?
Yeah. Like, no, yeah, that's, like, chemistry is a very good point. Like, Rob and I, we play with a bunch of friends in a Valorant tournaments. I won't say their names, because it's not that I'm scared of them, but they'll just get mad. but one of them, Rob can tell the story better.
Yeah, so I was making most of the callouts because as my aim is mediocre, like gold level player, not great.
Callout king. You
know, not iron, but I am my game sense is significantly better than that. So I was just making the callouts during the tournament to let people know where they should be looking and what they should be doing. And a few of the people were not, you know, listening, and then they would continue to get killed and then get angry that they were. And so, yeah, the needing to trust each other definitely strikes a chord, or coming back even after you get slaughtered, because we lost our first game 13-0 of Valorant against, I think, old CS pros who went to win the whole tournament.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was rough, but, you know, I feel like the trust thing, at least to me, definitely is something that would be important.
Yeah.
Right. It that is a major factor too, because like so whenever we play, so for instance with you know, it's sound whoring is key for anything, especially
for footsteps
and stuff. So when we've played Search and Destroy, there's been times where one of our friends or myself would be last up, and instead of the chatter, you know, you're listening, and so we'll call things out but not loud enough so we're to overhear him, so that way if he's focusing, we're not distracting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember we had a friend one time that was he's not used to it. He's playing with us, and I was last up and there was four enemy teams. And he was all, oh, they're over here. And my buddy's like, Britt's like, hey, he has his mix amp turned all the way up. He probably barely can hear us. Let him sound whore. He's doing what he needs to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I said, it's just that trust factor. And then learning, like I said, how well the chemistry is with everybody.
Yeah, no, like at this point, like Rob and I, we hang out a sad amount for me, at least. I hate the guy. But we'll be playing like Valorant, and then we do like a dude behind a wall. And Rob will just tell me, I'm like, at this point, like, we realize at some point it's like instinct now. Like instead of like thinking, I'm like, okay, I need to aim there. It's like flick, one tap, move on. And like, yeah, I guess like the chemistry part's like the biggest. Like you can have a team of like five like aim gods, but like the second they start doubting each other, they're just gonna like collapse it on themselves, you know?
Right. That trading is key. So if you're up and you know someone's around there, yeah, just kind of make yourself a little spaced out, but enough to see each other. So if that person gets shot, you shoot the person that shot him and die. You still got a better hide.
How was can you tell us a little about DreamHack? That's a big name on your resume.
Oh Lord, I love DreamHack. So like I said, they're based out of the UK, and so far I've done Dallas and I've done Atlanta and Anaheim all with them. So they usually have between 10 to like 15 different esports titles going on, plus so many miniature things. Like they have BYOC, they've got they had something like, looks like Tron, Frisbee Golf type stuff. So there's so many cool things. So it's just like going into a giant nerd convention for 3 days. I'm there for like five or six because I got to set stuff up and whatnot. But the 3 days it's open, they probably accumulate altogether like 50,000 people,
jeez,
I'd say. Yeah, but it's nonstop. People coming in, having fun. You know, you can buy food. There's places you could buy beer. You can come play in tournaments that are free. You can play in art tournaments that cost money, but you win more. So there's just a vast variety. There's cosplay. And what's funny is I'm trying to remember the guy's name. So you remember the doctor off of Jurassic Park?
Shoot.
Oh. He does like apartments.com commercials and stuff now. Yeah, so he was there playing Dance Dance Revolution right across from us. Of course, everybody's like fan stardom and stuff. I was like, hey, you're that doctor guy off of Jurassic Park, you know? He gave me a high five. Yeah, he came to check out the Halo. I showed him around. He gave me a high five. I said, hey, man, I appreciate your comedy and your passion. You know, keep it up. And so it's just, you can meet anybody at these things, man.
Yeah, I think that's like one of like the most like surprising things about gaming. Just like there's some gaming, like the amount of like people that play, like no one realizes, just like there's some people who are just like lurkers and stay quiet, but like the amount of like viewership and like just players is insane.
Oh yeah, like with Ultimate Gaming Championship, we were in St. Louis, Missouri for the Halo launch that we had last year. We had about 108 teams, but we had a special guest from the Green Bay Packers come in because he loves Halo and stuff. He checked it out, and so that's what I'm saying. You meet so many cool people at these things. It's unreal.
Yeah, no,
Yeah,
it's insane. Go on.
I've come to find that like gaming, like different games. I mean, I guess this is just a broad generalization, but you either have very toxic communities or very wholesome or both. Like you will have games that have, you know, there's not really an in between. You don't have people who are like, at least vocally, are like, meh, it's all right, and I'll go to this thing and just be neutral. They're either typically the people who put out the effort and go are very fun to be around, but then, you know, online is a different story.
Right. Yeah. So like the physical events, usually it's about 90% non-toxic, but of course the online community outside of it, before you get there, are always who's got a bigger, you know, pecker than somebody else, is always bragging rights. But it's not bad. I have seen one fist fight at an event, which was actually the one behind me.
Please tell us about that.
Yeah, so there was, so basically there was a team that was going back and forth with each other, and then they decided to do money eights before we closed
Right.
down. And so we told everybody, hey, 4 o'clock, we're taking the pit down, we're gonna break it down. Well, these kids were just bitching back and forth, and finally we're like, hey, 4 o'clock. So the kid that was losing was going and, all right, we gotta get off, clapping his hands, pushing everybody's button, and he gets over to the other dude who pushed his button. He's like, well, where's my money? He's like, you ain't getting shit, and just decks him. Another one grabs his throat, takes him down. I was like, oh Lord. I mean, we broke it up. My buddy Justin did. I was, and then security came and did their stuff. But what's funny is the whole time that happened, so I came out of the back because we had catering, I was gonna eat. I put myself down. I just watch it in slow motion. I'm like, what's going on here? And then I see that deck, and I'm just like, I'm going to eat my cheesecake. He has his handled, and that was it. So it was, like I said, normally it's not bad. But, yeah, that was like the first fist – well, that was the first fist fight for DreamHack. There was also a fist fight back in 2012 in the same arena for Halo 4. That was actually at the Mortal Kombat station area, and it was a rap battle going on, and it was a black gentleman versus a white gentleman in a wheelchair. And so, you know, they're doing their stuff. Well, the white gentleman said in a non-correct word he should not have,
thinking, I think we're
thinking
see
he'd be
the
okay
because
he's in a wheelchair, and he got decked. So I was like,
that
okay.
makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't say something you're not allowed to, brother.
That's.
So, but it's usually pretty good. It's like I said, usually it's all fun and games, but you can have toxic assholes anywhere you go.
Yeah, no, that's very true. It's also like the people that make the game, you know? Like Rob and I were talking about earlier, like there's some games that we're like, we would not play these by ourselves, but like because we have the friends online, we can just like mess around, like just dick around together. It's just funnier, you know?
Yeah.
Like for instance, Sea of Thieves. I can't stand that game when I play it alone. But if I'm playing with somebody else just on a pirate ship, just shooting cannons at whatever you see, it's fun. But you can't play it alone. It is not a game, at least for me, that I can play alone.
I tried playing it alone. I was like, I'm going to try this out. And I think I was at sea for literally like an hour. I'm like, where am I going? I was like, I need friends.
Yeah, it's very fun with friends, but without them, it's really nothing.
Yeah, no, like even related to like what you said at the start, it's like, although there's like the stereotype that gamer lazy, like large, you know, not the one who walks around. But then you're like, like this game that Rob and I play, Magic the Gathering, wasted too much money on it. There's this channel I would like, the San Francisco Packers. Oh god, I just angered a lot of people. It's not that. 49ers player, Cassius Marshall, like, come on. And he's like a big guy, so they're just like joking, like, don't beat me. And it's like insane. Like, we have friends who are like athletes that play, friends who like won't walk a mile to meet up with us, and like everything in between. It's like, it's kind of like wholesome, just insane that like it exists, you know?
No, and that's the thing too, is a lot of people that don't understand how we do things behind the scenes is they're like, oh, well, you just go there and you just tell people what to do. I walk about 25,000 steps a day, about 18-hour days, setting stuff up with my team and whatnot. So, yeah, you go into an empty room that's full of concrete. Next thing you know, there's tables, stage lights. We do all that, all the cables, and then we break it down to everything else.
A bunch of computers that work, too, so that's that must be a pain.
Oh, God, yeah. So we actually had, what did we have? I think we had almost 160 computers that we had borrowed from a company, and we received a fourth of them broken. And so in order to save a couple of stations, we actually had to go and gut some of them out to put in the other ones to fix it. So it's a blessing and a curse having stuff that's borrowed from other people because you don't know if it's going to work right or not. You know?
Hey, at least you don't have to, you know, pay to buy it.
True. Yeah. Well, it's funny. So like I said, with Oklahoma City University, when we were looking for our first big Smash event, we were looking to, like I said, to rent stuff. And people are like, oh, it's going to cost $50-$75 for the console, the DLC and all that stuff. And so I looked at the professor. I was like, I could just buy 10 of those consoles because they're going to offer pretty much $5,000. I was like, I can borrow or I could buy 10 of those plus everything we need for like $3,700. Yeah. And I said, I can get it all broken open and within a week and for an event compared to the $5,000 you guys were going to spend for nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So like, okay. Now, granted, Smash Brothers is burned in the back of my mind forever for playing, for unlocking 10 units plus the five they had all in a week. My mind hurts a little bit. Yeah.
You must have not slept.
Yeah.
Sleepers for the week, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, no, it was terrible. But, I mean, it was worth it because, I mean, like I said, we had a very good – we had over 70 kids out of the high schools, out of six high schools come around and play in our tournaments and stuff because it was like East versus West. And so they had six schools, we had six schools, and it was a great turnout. So the sleepless nights and the Smash Brothers burn into my eyelids was worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's good wholesome, yeah. All right, what do you think about the argument, the hottest debate, PC versus console? What side are you on, sir? You're gonna lose some friends.
I am a console pub. I mean, I've always been a console peasant over here and stuff. Now, granted, I mean, I've been telling people for quite some time that esports will transition all to the PC, which 90% of it is right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, it will be good for a universal thing compared to, well, this isn't Halo, so it's Xbox, or now it's Call of Duty, which has PlayStation rights. So now, if you actually move it all over to one thing, they just plug their stuff in and go. Mm-hmm. Now, PC is great because of all this and that, and it doesn't cost as much to, like, you know, change a graphic card to compare it to, say, buying a new Xbox. Yeah. New Xbox is probably going to cost $600 when a new graphics card might cost $350. So you just update when you want to. And plus, the games are 10 times cheaper on PC compared to, you know, console. So PC is great. Downfall, it is big, it's bulky, but it does what it needs to do for being big and bulky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I guess another thing kind of related to what you were just talking about, how like buying another Xbox, what do you think about sort of game succession? Should, I don't know really how to phrase this, but if there's like Halo 1 as opposed to like Halo 5, right? But you have some of the same teams going on. Should teams that were good at in a previous game get precedence over teams that weren't in like, not necessarily seeding, but like in getting like entrance to a tournament or like sort of benefits because they've been helping the community? Or should newer teams be given sort of like an advantage in entering because the other teams have already had their shine in a different game?
Right. Honestly, in my opinion, I don't care if you're amateur or pro. I think you need to run the gauntlet like anybody else does. Get in there in the pit with the AEMs and see if you get slaughtered or not. You know, because like I said, and there is a lot of pros that sometimes do get put in a pool play because of how much they play online with their pro points and stuff, which is understandable. They earned it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think they need to also be in the pit like there has been in younger days to where they get sweaty with everybody else, you know?
Yeah. No, like go on, Rob.
I'm just willing to bet that some of them would actually rather enjoy, you know, running the gauntlet more.
Yeah.
You know,
it would be. I mean, there probably would be some major slaughters, and there might be some tough games too. You don't know.
Yeah, like one esports team that like I enjoy, the Rainbow Six Siege. So in the ESL league, you have to like get points. It's like if one team is like absolutely awful in the pro league, again, sorry about the going in the background. But they can just like they can drop back to the amateur circuit, and they have to grind their way back up. So, like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think pros should have the chance of dropping back to amateur, or just like safe?
Well, yeah, I would say if you're in the featured station, which is like the round robin play, if you go 0-4, I think you need to drop down to the pit and climb your way out of that thing. You know, you had four chances to try to win at least some of these to get a good bracket placement. If that doesn't work, then yeah, either you get sweaty or you get defeated. Your choice.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, what do you think about, so 100 Thieves, they made their Valorant team with the pro CS player Hiko, right? What do you think about the organization hiring 4 PUBG pros instead of Hiko, the CS pro, the dude who's been playing the game, getting to choose his team?
There's a lot of factors. There's one, contracts for money. Yeah. Two, if there is a sponsorship that'll override or conflict with someone else. So like, let's say for instance, 100 Thieves had Monster Energy, but the other guy had Red Bull. You can't hire them because they would mash because of who they have. So there's that factor. The other factor is also age. Well, how long is this guy going to be on here compared to these other young pups that we might have? So there's so many formalities, but however, you do want somebody within the community that has grinded out and understands and is still great compared to other people that might be great at something. But like, for instance, you don't want a Halo guy to be like, I'm going to come represent the Smash side all of a sudden just because I'm a pro. He might not know crap about Smash. He might be good at it, but he's not the great like these other guys are, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So, that's how I see it.
He's no Mango or Hungry.
What's the first esports event you worked at? Because you've done a lot of these. You've done more than I can count.
Right. The first. So, are we talking about like major? Are we talking grassroots or what?
Like, the initial thing. Like, yeah, both. I guess.
So of course the first was Halo 1. I did plenty of like Halo 1 tournaments and stuff that I hosted with the friends, and then like the first major that I did. Yeah, I believe it was for Halo 3. Might have been Halo 3. It's been like it's so damn long. But yeah, no. As far as grassroots, it was always Halo stuff because that was my baby. And then, like I said, I transitioned to Call of Duty. I've done Fighters, everything and anything. And as far as pros, one of my favorite ones for the pros so far was actually Overwatch because I did it for the college series. So it was called the Battle for Texas down in Arlington Esports down in Texas. And it had, I think it had 12 or 16 teams altogether. What's funny, they were all Texas teams except for one that made it. And that was from Mississippi. I'm like, how did a Mississippi get in for a Battle of Texas? But just seeing the younger generation, especially the college kids, like, you know, learning this and that, I made so many great connections and it's enjoyable. Yeah. One of my other favorite memorable ones was same arena, but it was for Madden because Madden used to be really hot. But then the shooting that happened in Jackson, Florida, a few years back, that went and kind of put a damper on things of, you know, oh, we got to watch out for this or that. Because I was part of that series, and what's funny is, so a company I worked for, we actually took the Dallas bid, and we were going to take originally the Florida bid, but we didn't. And so we gave it to the new tournament guy that was there, and we took the other one. Of course, you see what happened. So a bunch of these players, they're new, and there's some that are old ones that are so happy it's going on, but they're still kind of skittish. I remember I had a gentleman come up to me and was talking to me about everything, about how he lost his friend that had played on there. And then like a couple of days later, he had like lost his daughter and stuff. And so I was, you know, I was coping with him, explaining what's going on. And he says, you know, hey, you know, I know this doesn't mean much, but thank you for still believing in us to let us have this event and stuff. And I was like, it's not a big deal. I gave him a big hug. I got him a beer afterwards and he was just the happiest guy ever.
Good guy, know? Johnny.
Yeah. That's a wholesome story.
Yeah.
Do you prefer to, you know, run grassroots or like pro scene?
Oh,
like which is more fun for you?
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's fun for both because with the pro scene I do have a bunch of friends out there, and then I get to travel across compared to just being local or surrounding states. But I do love the grassroots more because there's a bunch of amateur players or anybody that likes to cast or stuff that want to be involved in esports, and these grassroots people are maybe eventually going to take like my position whenever I get too old to do it anymore. So being able to watch them grow, transition, watch them go to the pro league and stuff, it's like a father to a son or a daughter type thing. You're just watching your baby grow up, and it's amazing to see how far they can go.
Yeah, it's like passing the torch.
It is, you know, and that's what I enjoy, because I remember there was a team in 2015 called the Lady Killers. They're like 15, 16-year-old kids, and they came and they played a little bit. They got their butts kicked, but then after that, they kept playing and they went to the pro scene and they like wiped a bunch of amateurs out. They got to like top 32, almost top 16. And so just watching them play in ours and then transition to that was a great feat, because, you know, I'd watch them when they would be down and getting beaten. I talked to them, look, guys, you got to keep your head up. You always got to keep talking no matter if you're getting beat or not. And then they would listen and then they would transpire. And like I said, they'd wipe the floor with people. So I was happy that they were listening and taking my words of affirmation and transitioning it into their playstyle.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. So, spinning off to a completely different note, I'm sorry that I keep doing this. But
you're fine.
what do you think is the strongest college scene? Like, what game do you think is the strongest for a college esport? Like,
it would honestly be probably League of Legends or Overwatch right now, if I'm being honest. I mean, Smash is good, but most of the colleges, of course, have PCs, so why not stick with League of Legends or, like I said, Overwatch, since they're mainly PC-based. But that would be my top two for those ones. Probably League of Legends taking Overwatch right now.
What college do you think is going to take esports, like, the most seriously? Because, like, it's kind of a gamble.
I think he's biased in this one. Hold on. I think he's biased in this
Yeah,
one.
Okay. Excluding the great Oklahoma State University.
I'm a Texas Longhorn fan. I don't like OU or nothing like that. So, but I mean, like, for instance, so I'm in a Discord channel that has a bunch of the Call of Duty colleges in there. So there's Purdue in there. There's Alabama. So there is a bunch of well-known colleges that are taking really heat into it, but they're still new. So I would honestly say in probably about another 2 years, you'll be seeing playoffs like you do in basketball and stuff, you know, this college versus this college. Yeah, so it'd be like a March Madness for Overwatch or something, you know.
Do you think esports is going to take over, like, in viewership of, like, actual sports?
Oh, shit. I've been saying this for years. It's climbing up there, especially now that COVID has decided to put a damper on things. The esports is rising really quick now. But I do see it overtaking the viewerships of it. Plus, I mean, if you watch, like, on ESPN and stuff now, they had digital esports NASCAR going on.
Yeah,
so
I saw that.
They're gonna so if they can honestly do the same thing with Madden, they can do the same thing with what is that, NBA and stuff. So it's not hard to say put two games in there. Yes, it's digital, but it's still a game that you can watch and get into. You're like, oh yeah, he's going that way, you know. And it could just be ran by the AI, not by people based.
Yeah,
and I've told people that you can honestly do that and do betting like you would in real sports. Why not have fun with it?
Yeah, no, it's been funny. Like, a lot of NBA players are starting to pick up, like, NBA 2K, and even though they aren't the best, they have, like, their name. So they're, like, popping up on Twitch, and they're just like, yeah, you know, guys, you know, like, basketball is cool and all, but if I can just, like, sit down and just play with friends and have fun, it's better. And it's just been, like, really odd, because before, like, I guess COVID and Ninja, people were like, oh, you play video games, you probably just sit around all day. But people were like, oh, you play? Add me on Discord, add me on blah, blah, blah. It's been, like, a total 180. You know, because, like, in elementary, when I told my mom, like, Mom, I like Fortnite, I like Minecraft, can you get me an account? She was like, the devil's game. You're going to be building things. And now she's just like, oh, yeah, my kid, like, plays video games, you know, our neighbors do. Like, it's become such, like, an open thing, I guess.
Right. Well, that's like, we had at GameStop up here, I had a NBA, I think it was a 2018 launch or something. It was 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. And, Russell Westbrook from the Oklahoma City Thunder came up there with his brother and entered in the tournament. And so there are so many athletes that share the same passion as us. They're just well known because they're an athlete. Yeah. But, you know, like, for instance, Steven Adams out of the Thunder, he loves anime. So he watches it all the time and he's came to some events. So just because they might have a bigger title doesn't mean they don't bleed the same blood and enjoy the same passion as we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been, like, very quality seeing, like, it's like the generations that start in, like, now have video games, like, make it more of an open thing, you know?
Right. Yeah, I remember growing up, like, you know, whenever we had AOL dial-up, I'd play, like, StarCraft, and I'd have to, like, call my cousin up and, you know, make the landline be actually being used where you can't call the phone because we're trying to game and stuff. So it's funny how it transitioned from that to where we're at now with, like, Xbox Live, Steam, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even in, you know, like, as we've been growing up with video games, it's gone from your parents telling you to pause online games to sort of even if they want you to get off, they would at least, you know, understand where you were coming from and not just be like, can't you pause it? So, you know, there's definitely been an evolution.
Yeah, I always make jokes too with, like, the younger parents, because they'll be like, well, it's time. Like, I'll be, say if I do a birthday party for, like, one of my friend's kids and stuff, they're like, all right, well, it's time to get cake. I was like, Mom, it's this Xbox Live, not Xbox TiVo. You can't pause Fortnite right now, bro. It's not gonna work that way. It's just crazy, like I said, how it used to be compared to what it is now.
Yeah. What's your most, like, notable esports story? Because you've done 600 tournaments. Like, what was, like, one thing you saw that was, like, you're like, Jesus Christ, or you were just like, that's going to stick with me? Because you've seen so many things.
Yeah, so as far as, like, myself, luckily I haven't had any fail moments yet, but there's been times where I've been at events, and, like, say, for some games like Halo, you have to run it off Xbox Live because there wasn't a LAN setting for, like, MCC. Xbox Live went down for 3 hours. during the tournament. Yeah, so that on that you're on standstill. And then not only did it do with that at Atlantic City, it did the same thing in Atlanta with DreamHack. Xbox Live was down for about an hour and a half. I'm just like, I got shit to do. I need my internet back. But I mean, what does crack me up is, so Dallas DreamHack was usually during the May time. So last year, we know storms were coming overhead, which I'm a country boy and we live in Tornado Alley. Well, the Swedish people are like, what's that alarm going off? I was like, it's probably just a tornado alarm. Are we going to die? I'm like, we're in a giant steel building, bro. It's just an alarm to say warning something's coming, and nothing came, but they're all freaking out. I'm like, you guys are just worried about nothing, you know?
I don't know. As someone from the East Coast, I definitely would be freaking out for a tornado warning.
Well, one of the greatest stories that's actually happened with me and my buddy Dewey, who runs Gamers for Giving up in Michigan. So our motto is, when we get to events, we always want pizza and mozzarella sticks.
Oh, dude, that's so good.
Yeah. And so we were coming back. I think it was a Friday night, and we were starving. I mean, we ate the catering, but you know, when you have cravings, you want it. Mm-hmm. I remember me and him, we have a drink in our hand. We're walking to like our hotel room down all the alleys and stuff. And we're talking about cheese sticks and food. And about that time, this beautiful lady comes walking by, and he mentions something like, man, I wish I had some mozzarella sticks. I said, yeah, I'd smash the crap out of that. And about that time, that gal walks by, and I guess she thought I was talking about smashing her.
Oh, no.
She completely 180s and just follows behind us. And Dewey's like, you got a stalker? I was like, I think I do. And I mean, I just kept walking and just BSing. Well, she never said nothing about that time. We get into the elevator and we go upstairs, and she turns around. I was like, either A, she wanted to smack me, or B, she wanted to do something else with me, because I talked about, you know, destroying stuff. Oh, so,
dude, that's that legendary.
Unfortunate time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, no, there's been a bunch of great stories. I remember when I was in Daytona with my partners, like, we were in the tournament. We made it pretty far, but we got beat out, I think, mid-Saturday, and the event was going to Sunday. Yeah. So I was like, you know, let's go get drunk on the beach. So we just go out there. We're getting rained on. We're just drinking, just having fun. We're just like, we don't care. Whenever I was at the Beachland last year, I remember it was Friday night, and of course we all leave Saturday. And I told my cameraman, who goes and does a bunch of the pictures, like, "Hey, let's go for a jog on the beach. It'll be nice." All right, you know. I looked. I was like, "Well, there is bad rain coming, but it says 20 minutes away." We get maybe 5 minutes in, probably almost a good half a mile. About that time, it just pours down rain on us. I'm like, "Well, this is gonna suck." So we get back to the condo that we're at, right, for all the stuff, and me and him are just drenched. People are just staring at us like, what the hell happened? I was like, don't ask. All that for ice cream and a walk.
Dude, but those walks, they're like legendary status, you know? Like,
yeah, no, they're fun.
The revelations of life happen during those walks.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, there's so many things that can happen in esports, just like whenever we do them online, that there's just always some kind of memory that goes behind it.
Yeah. It's like, it's very wholesome, and like Rob and I were playing, and like we hear like a squeak of like, he's very like kind, trying his heart out, and we're just like, yes, you are the role model. Do we
maybe bottom fragging your heart out, but at least it's, you know, not toxic.
Right. I think one of the other good times is whenever me and my buddy Chris, so Chris actually worked for Optic Gaming G Fuel as their photographer and stuff, and we went down to X Games for G Fuel one year. Well, we had Subaru sponsor us, so we had a WRX, which is like a really fast sports car. I remember on our way back, it was kind of construction-ish, and I'm going around semis, and I had this dude just literally riding my ass, honking it the whole time. I'm like, bro, it's construction. I'm not going over 60 in a car that's not even mine, first of all, you know? And so the whole time, you know, I was like, all right. So there'd be gaps on the side where I could get over. Nah, I just rode it just next to that semi just to annoy him a lot more. And every time he tried to get around, I'd speed up. And about that time, I seen an area where I could finally get over, because he was going to pass me regardless. Well, about that same time, a Texas State Trooper is coming up the off-ramp. And I'm like, watch this, Chris. I get over, and this guy comes around me, looks at me, flips me off, and just hauls ass. I pull up a little bit, but I slow down because I see the officer.
Yeah.
This dude has to be going about 90 miles per hour. That officer sees him, pulls his ass right over. I'm like, I was like, that's what you get for being toxic, bro.
That's quality.
Yeah, there's been so many golden moments, dude. I love it to death.
It sounds like the dream. You're living the dream, man.
it's just fun. I enjoy also going to trips. Like, usually we fly, but I enjoy also the driving, because there's so many memories you can get behind driving and whatnot. So every mile of memory is what I say.
Oh,
even if that memory is just grass, just some wheat,
right?
More corn.
More corn. Well, it's like, you guys know who Golden Boy Mendez was, right? Yeah.
I do not.
Okay, so Golden Boy, he's been a like professional caster for like Halo. He's actually worked with The Rock on Titan Games and stuff. And so he's like pretty well known up there. So what about Walshy? Do you know Walshy and stuff off Halo?
No, I don't follow Halo that much. I'm more of a Rainbow Six.
You're good. All right. So Walshy is a retired Halo player. Well, anyways, so okay. we're up at UGC St. Louis, and a foot of snow drops down. Of course, everybody that drove up there had cars. I'm the only one that drove a truck up there, and I have a lifted truck. So I remember like Walshy and Golden Boy and all them. They're like walking to this Mexican restaurant. My ass is out in the fucking like. Doing donuts in the parking lot and stuff, just having fun. People are like, what are you doing? I was like, you want to get in here? Like, sure. So they hop in the truck, we do a couple donuts, and we go eat Mexican. So
yeah,
it was golden.
Dude, I saw this like this TikTok of this like dude just like going to all these pizza places in Brooklyn. He saw this guy with like this giant truck. He's like, you know, that dude's definitely got a big pecker. And the dude comes out and he's like super guy. He's like, hey, you want to drive in the truck? There's a guy. He's like, you know what? I take it back. This is kind of fun. I see like the greatness in this.
Right. Well, I remember up there too, because after I had done it, I had parked and went ate Mexican. Well, we have security guards that are up there for our events, mm-hmm. and this one was like I said, the St. Louis Police Department. And so I get out, and he's like, "Hey," I was like, "What's up, man?" He's like, "What kind of exhaust you got on that thing?" And I was telling him, he's like, "Is that a Raptor?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, I've always wanted to drive that." I was like, "Well, I can go distract your little deputy buddy in here if you want to drive it for 5 minutes in the parking lot doing donuts." He's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Keys are in it, man." He's like, "Okay." So yeah, so he comes in and relieves his partner, and he's like, "Dude," he's like, "That was the funnest crap I've had in a long time." I was like, "You're welcome."
No, yeah.
So, it's fun. I enjoy it.
No, yeah. Like as much as I love like sitting in the chair and game, like. Some of those like random spur of the moment like walks, even like in awful weather, they're just so much more funny now.
Like, oh, they are.
I call Rob and I like old souls because it'll be like snowing or like it'll be 100+ degrees outside. I'm like, you know what? You want to go get burgers in the middle of like this awful weather, and it's like just wholesome memories.
Right. That's the best way to do it. I mean, I don't know how many times that me and my like I said admins have got there, and of course we're adults, we like to drink, and so we're like, all right, let's find the liquor store, we're gonna go put it in my backpack and come back and drink while we're working. We should do that, but we have sometimes.
I won't tell anybody.
All right, so yeah, we'll go there, and I remember, you know, security, they know us, and they'll come back, mm-hmm. and like, all right, well, you know, you just need to take this off, and you know, when they're ready to check the bag, of course I usually have a hoodie inside mine, but I'll walk through and I'll have my steel toe boots on. I'll ding, I'm like, oh, it's just my boots and stuff. Like, oh, okay, and they'll totally forget about the bag. I'm like, all right, going inside.
Bro, that's genius. This is life hacks.
Yeah. It's all about distractions.
Magic.
Right. Well, there'd be times too, because usually the arenas have their own staff that usually works within them. Mm-hmm. And they do their job. They're supposed to make sure that anybody who's not staff can't go into the back where production's at, or the boneyard, which is where we put our stuff. Well, usually we have to show them our badge, or we have a wrist thing on it to like click and show our name. Well, usually I try to make friends with them because I don't want to always get stopped if I'm working on something. And so my thing is I'll come out with a Monster energy drink, and I always bring an extra one. I'm like, hey, are you thirsty by chance? She's like, oh yeah. It's like, would you like a Monster? So I persuade them, and I was like, hey, you want a cookie? We got extra cookies. Oh yeah. So after that, they don't stop me, they stop everybody else, but I'm their favorite after that.
What's like the most toxic person you've met at like a LAN event? Excluding the fighting fellas.
Right.
Because like a lot of times, so like, people won't like say anything at first, but like, you'll just meet them, you'll be like, that dude's like out to get someone here for no reason.
Right. Well, I all right, so Doug Sensoroff phase. Wow. He's a good guy, but he's also a pushover, which is great. So. Doug is one of the gamers who's really known for like his physical fitness. Like he's got biceps like bigger than me and stuff. But I remember there was we were downtown drinking, and I think it was in Austin or somewhere like that. And a bar fight kind of broke out. And like I said, Doug's a big guy, you know, but he's smaller than me, but he's like just bulkier.
Yeah.
He goes behind me and says, "Hey man, I don't want to fight." I'm like, "Doug, you look like you're ready to rip someone's head off." He's like, "Yeah, I'm just not a fighter." I'm like,
no. "I'm just a lover."
Why are you such a pretty boy working out, and you talk all this crap and you don't back it up when something physical happens, bro? I'm like, come on, man.
Dude, oh my god, I just pulled up his Instagram. Holy. Yeah. He's afraid of
fighting.
He's
ripped, man. Yeah, he's afraid of fighting, man. Yeah.
Dude, what? He looks so fierce.
Right, well, there was also a time, so Doug, have you ever seen those Hispanic weather ladies down there in like Mexico, how beautiful they are? So he was dating one. I mean, she was literally a 10 of 10.
Yannette Garcia.
And he ended up breaking up with her because he wanted to focus more on gaming, and he just didn't have enough time. I'm like, bruh, no.
Mistake numero uno.
You have now left the objective.
Yeah, you're not doing the objective time, man. I was like, because she loved what he did. She would have followed him anywhere, but then he broke up with her. I'm like, man, you lost something
like,
good.
I respect his choices. He'll always have his reasons that he will hold to himself, but like, come on, man.
Right? It's just like, I mean, yeah, we're here for business, but you also need to have a love life within your business. Yeah. And you had a great love life, and you put that down the toilet.
Yeah, I think that's also one thing, like, I guess a lot of the kids are not going to gaming or learning, like, balancing your life. Dude.
Hold on, I have something very important. Go for it. Very important. Are you celebrating Christmas in July, or have you not just taken down your tree yet?
This Christmas tree, first of all, my topper is my Spartan helmet, but this Christmas tree has actually been up. This Christmas tree has been up actually the past 3 years, so what's funny is the only time it comes down, and my daughter and everybody else knows this, is whenever I have a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend currently, so... It's I haven't had a girlfriend in 3 years, so it's been up for 3 years now going on. And so the only time it comes down is if my girlfriend helps me take it down.
No, you should totally keep it up. Yeah. It's Christmas in July. At least now you have an excuse for it, right? It's like...
Exactly, right? It's Christmas every day around here.
Yeah. I don't know, but like that's one way I think. Because we just graduated from high school. Like some nights I'll have like an essay due, and I'll be like, listen, essay, 5 minutes. Game, forever. So right. I was like, I'll do the essay in like 5 minutes. Rob, the real That's homework great. Was the friends we made on the way. No, yeah, it's just been odd because like some of like my friends who are just getting into gaming, they'll play for like, because like it's addictive at some points, you know, when you just like start getting into the momentum. They'll play like for 20 hours of like, dude, I forgot to sleep. I'm like, yeah, you have to keep yourself in checks and balances. Like
you're not sleeping while playing the game, amateur.
Yeah, like Rob and I were talking earlier, but there's like you need your alone time sometimes, even from the game, like just time to recharge, you know? Instead of just like burning energy.
There's been plenty of times that I've stayed up till I heard the sun chirp and I was like, I should probably get to bed right now. You know? Yeah. Well, what really sucks for me is so if I know something big's coming up, I try to get to bed reasonably early.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. 2 or 3 AM comes around, then that, you know, 4:30 alarm clock to get on the plane ride wakes me up. I'm like, well, this is gonna be a fun freaking day. And what sucks is, so whenever I went to go work with Red Bull for the Rise Till Dawn event, I woke up that Tuesday morning to go to Chicago, and they called me up 2 days before the event, said, hey, we need you, our other TOs can't make it, blah 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 blah. It's like, all right, no big deal. I woke up with the flu. Ooh. That morning and drove 13 hours with the flu. It was not fun.
I can imagine. Yeah.
It was worth it, but by God, when I got to that hotel room, I just took a bath and I passed out in the bathtub. Even though I don't fit in a bathtub, but I tried to make it work very well.
Yeah, I was about to say, just sleep on the plane. And then I realized you're like 6'6". So if you're flying somewhere, that's...
Geez,
yeah, I have to take the emergency exit rows, like the ones where it's like got the two seats and then the three seats behind it. And I'm on that far left one before I stretch my feet out. It sucks. If not, I'm literally like a cramped tuna fish.
It's like the movie Elf. You're just cramped.
Yeah, he's actually, Will Ferrell is, I think he's 6'4", so he's got 2 inches shorter than me.
Oh my God, you're a giant.
So it sucks. I hate it.
Yeah. How was the Red Bull event? Tell us a little about that.
That was actually fun. So Rise Till Dawn was where the tournament starts at 5:30 at night and went until 5:30 the next day. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know what the Sears Tower is in Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I was about to say, if not, have you guys watched the movie Rampage, the newest one with The Rock in it?
I need to.
Also, yes. All
right, absolutely. So that tower is the Sears Tower. And so we were on the 99th floor of that the whole entire time, and it's just one big square. You walk around, you just see out there. So literally, you go up to the window, it's like deja vu. Like, your stomach gets sucked up because of how far that drop is. And so we got to watch the sunset over one side of it, and then we got to watch it rise up over the Michigan Lakes and Lake Erie and stuff like that. So it was really cool. It was unique, but at the same time, being up from dusk till dawn was, I mean, Red Bull was there for a reason, but it was fun but crazy at the same damn time. Yeah.
What's the biggest, like, I guess, esports personality you've played or talked with? Because you just said Doug Sensor Warden.
Right. I mean, I have videos of me and Scumpy from Optic. Wow. Whenever he used to play with Optic. I have FaZe Zuma. I've met Crim 6. I've met, like I said, a bunch of the Halo pros. I've met some professional Smash, like MVD, which actually MVD used to be from Oklahoma. And now he's out in Nevada, I think. So honestly, I've met a lot of like great top tier people who were just as casual as me and you. They just got a different title on them. That's all.
Yeah, that's a tribute to think about. Yeah. Wow. Dude, you're so well versed in everything. You got a cool car. I try. You buy people Mr. beers E-Sports, and monsters.
We found him.
See, I try to be. I'm a country boy. I try to be laid back, and no one that I meet's ever a stranger. You know, I always put my hand out for a shake, and if someone needs a hug, I give them a hug. Yeah, simple as that.
Well, if you're ever on the East Coast, just hit us up, man.
Oh, I will be. I know with the game gym, whenever they open back up, I should be there for like the big physical tournaments. And then, of course, depending on what contract with either Atlantic City out in New Jersey or like Senior Neck Fluids, I'm sure I'll be out that way more.
Yeah, I'll be more than happy to meet you in person and go and make lots of tall jokes to piss you off.
You're good. I'll be in, like I said, a t-shirt, my camo hat, shorts, and my boots, man. That's it.
No, yeah, it's funny because Rob and I were talking about this earlier. He's like, yeah, you know, I don't make the dude awkward. I was like, this man wears like sleeveless shirts, camo hat, and is just vibing.
Yep. And I'm covered in tattoos, so.
Dude, I love it. That's an unmatched energy.
Right. I always tell people I'm a country bumpkin stuck in a city slicker world with tattoos all over me, so.
That's quality. Well, I guess we'll wrap this up here now. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on, man. Anything you want to shout out?
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
it
was great. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, anytime you guys have questions, this or that, don't hesitate to reach out to me.
I definitely will.
Yeah,
do.
Thank you so much. This was like an amazing experience. It was so wholesome.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. And like I said, whenever you guys get it up, let me know and I'll send it to people out of Wacka Shirt and stuff.
Yeah, I'll do it tonight. All right, thank you for this. And goodbye, I guess.
Have a wonderful day, man.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. You guys.